Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It's great to be free. It's great to be a child of God and know that I'm free from the chains of sin as well. God has always had a people. God has blessed Israel. I believe that Israel, not the Israel that we know today and where they're at today, but God's hand is still on them, and He is not done with Israel. And Israel has been the greatest nation on earth. What a wonderful, and it's a secular nation today. I understand that, but Israel's coming back to God one day. That's what you need to do. In the meantime, there's a nation destined for the skies. God has blessed Israel. God has blessed the church. The church is God's idea. Genesis chapter 12, God promises to bless all that bless Israel and is a friend to Israel, and that's where we need to be in America. And then the church came along, and that was God's idea as well, and God has blessed the church, and we who are not a people are now a people. We are not Israel. It's not replacement theology. We're the church of Jesus Christ, and we are destined for the skies. And then after that, in the process of the 2,000 years of the church history, God has had to raise up nations that the church might thrive. And it was true in Europe. And then God raised up America in 1776. And some of you were well acquainted with the history of America. And who can deny it? God has blessed the United States of America. And He's blessed the United States of America because in this country, and this generation that we're living in right now doesn't understand this. There are people in the generation that do. There are young people that do and young adults that do. But for the first time in American history, America has turned its back on God and is headed in the wrong direction. And this generation does not recognize it. They think it's just like it's always been. And that is the subtlety of the powers of darkness, the spirit of Antichrist all over in this world today. You know the Bible? You know how that rings true. America has been blessed of God in many ways. This morning, before I get to the text, we do want to honor our veterans and those that are presently serving. And we're going to do that at the end of the service. But I remind you all that has taken place in America that we might have the First Amendment with freedom of speech and freedom of worship and right to assembly, and the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and all the constitutional freedoms that we enjoy. It's because someone has paid the price for that freedom before me. Someone paid the price that you and I may be free because of what they've done. I can raise my family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because of what the price that they have paid, I can worship my God, the God of the Bible. Because of them, I can fly a flag. I can stand at parades and put my hand over my heart and salute this nation. I can picnic with my family in safety. I can preach on the radio the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, the true gospel, the fact that only in Jesus can people find forgiveness of sins. And He is the only Savior that can take away our sin and wash us clean. It's through His blood that atonement is made, that you and I, as sinners, might come to God and have a home in heaven one day. Man, that's a glorious freedom. Many have paid a great price for the freedoms which we now experience. Some are slipping away. I'm talking about those freedoms. Our universities are in the process of brainwashing an entire generation, and it started a half a generation ago. We all know that. We that have been to college in the past and seen what has happened, how things have turned, just check it out. Just do some research. Find out how many people are appointing anybody to Christ in our universities today. For the most part, they're bastions of liberalism, and people are coming out not really knowing that there are any absolutes. Take your Bibles. We already read some of it. John in chapter 8. John in chapter 8, and I'm going to spend the rest of the time in the book of Romans, and I pray that God the Holy Spirit will arrest all of our attention and speak to us in a great way. Recently, I had a preacher of another stripe, and he believes the gospel, but that's all. Said to me, made a statement along this line. I'm trying to remember the exact quote. I wrote it down as close as I could. I would refer to him as a compromising pastor. He said, oh, you Bible fundamentalists, you can't do this and you can't do that. You don't even understand what freedom is. And I told him, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I am as free as a bird. I'm saved by grace. What you want is no rules, because you want to do your own thing. You're willing to accept that freedom, that grace for eternal life, for the salvation of the soul, but you don't want the rest of the Bible. And that's why you're so conflicted. He didn't have an answer for that, by the way. You follow God and you follow the scripture and you follow the precepts of the Word of God, and your heart is light and you know what freedom is. You know that God is in it all, and God is sovereign, and God is leading in the journey and the pilgrimage of life, and it's easy to do the do's and don'ts, because my Bible says, and we just read it this morning in Sunday school, the Word of God, the commandments of God are not grievous. Man, they're not a burden. I want to do that. That's not how it is. Not when you understand what freedom is all about. Look what it says here, verse 28. I say this again, and then I'm going to say a second thing and get to the book of Romans. Wars have been fought. Patriots have bled and died that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have. They purchased our freedom. It didn't come cheaply. And they laid down their lives to protect our freedom. And freedom demands vigilance. Look what it says in verse 28, chapter 8. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, speaking of Calvary, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Remember that agape love we were talking about this morning? This is a sacrificing love. He didn't do it for himself or of himself. It says here, ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Got to obey. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? In other words, we don't need Christ. We don't need him. No God telling us how to live. There's no rules. You know, we'll just do it our own way. We're saved by grace. And that's that same rebellious mentality. I want to say this before I read the last couple of verses. So many in our culture today don't get it. We here at Fundamental Baptist Church, we don't have all our ducks in order. We ain't got everything. We don't have everything down pat. We have the truth. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. We have the commands of God. But the truth is, a lot of us aren't following after the truth and the precepts as commanded in the Scriptures. In fact, a lot of us, we don't get it. We just don't get it. It's just kind of, there's been no connection. Saved by grace, that's all we get, because that's all we want. We don't want to live for God. All right, I'm not chewing anybody out. I'm not in that mode this morning. I'm speaking reality. That's just the way it is. And so we need to be vigilant, ever vigilant. Let's read on here. Verse 33, they answered him, we'd be Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. We've never been a slave. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God. We're going to go now to the book of Romans, and God, we pray for your direction. Help everyone to stay connected to the Scriptures. May your Holy Spirit be the one that teaches. And Lord, would you draw us closer to thee? If there's someone here not saved, save them this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in America. We are here in America. We know freedom. We know liberty. We must be vigilant. Others paid the price that we would have that freedom, and there was a greater price paid for our spiritual freedom. For the very Son of God came down from heaven's glory and lived 33 years on this planet. He became a man, never ceased to be God, but he became man. And he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he lived a perfect life while he was here on this earth. He was a teenager. He knows what temptation is. He was a young adult, mister, ma'am. He knew what it was to have peer pressure. And he stood for God. He stood for God in a world of darkness. And then men crucified him. And he willingly went to the cross and paid the price for sin. And he died there. And he bled out there. And he had Tim Rader on his mind. He had Harry Reinfelder on his mind. He had Charlie McLean on his mind. He had John Oliver Gozier on his mind. The fact is, he knew who we were, and he went to the cross that we might have eternal life, and a great price was paid for our sin. And then he rose again on the third day. Spiritual freedom. Man, what a glory it is. To have a bunch of do's and don'ts, and that's all there is, and I got to work to get God's approval, that's a cult. That's a cult. Some on the outside, and even some rebels in the family of God, think that we're cultic. We are not. We are not. We are not a cult. We're saved by grace. It's not legalism, any of the do's and don'ts in the Word of God. Legalism, you better check your theology out, is adding to the gospel. It's telling people you got to have your hair cut a certain way in order to get saved. That is legalism. Telling people you got to be baptized in order to get saved. That would be legalism. All right? But what we do is we're saved by grace. We belong to God. It's all because of Jesus, and we live our life, and we stumble along, and we make mistakes along the way, but we're all sinners. He that says he's not a sinner, he that says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And the truth is, we're enveloped. We are held in the loving arms of Jesus, and we aren't going to lose our salvation. Let's go to Romans. We got to get over there. Real freedom of the soul. Romans in chapter 6. 8:36, just read it. If the Son hath made you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the power of sin. I don't have to be a drunkard. I don't have to, after being born again, I don't have to sell my soul to alcohol or pornography. I don't need to be enslaved in the chains of immorality and perversion. I don't have to be weak and defeated with sins of the flesh and carnality. I don't have to have an uncontrolled spirit where I just shoot off at the mouth and share everything I know with everybody that's willing to listen and twist things along the way because nobody can get everything right. That's a physical impossibility. Or lose my temper and throw my wrench across the garage like we heard about this morning. There was a great confession this morning in Sunday school. If you weren't here, you should have heard about Jim Ekela. Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's on the radio. Let's look at chapter 6. Chapter 6. I want to read 5, 9 through 12 first. It's probably on the same page. Chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. I'm a sinner. That's the problem. I want to be free from sin, but I'm a sinner. That's the problem. Paul said, sin is ever present with me. The great apostle Paul, the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived, said, oh, wretched man that I am. And if Paul's a wretch, Tim Rader's a wretcher yet, I tell you that. I mean, he's far beyond that. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says of chapter 5, much more than being now justified by his blood, there's my salvation, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We're made one. We're made clean. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are reconciled. We are saved. Those are all Bible words. I'm reading it right here in the text. Verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And there's my problem. I got saved by grace, but I'm still a sinner. I still have sin. I quoted 1 John this morning already. He that says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And yet the scripture tells us that I have freedom from sin. Look at chapter 6 and look at verse 17 and 18. And maybe verse 22. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now that's what a lot of people in casual Christianity don't understand. I'm free from the chains of sin. I'm not a slave to sin. There's no sin that Tim Rader has except God has given the power to overcome that sin as well. That's scriptural. Now I'm a bond slave to Jesus Christ. Now I'm a servant of righteousness. I'm going to come back to that with my third and final point, which I'm going to get to in about 8 minutes or 10 minutes here this morning. I get to serve God. Verse 22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. It's a wonderful life to serve God. And salvation is in Christ, pure and simple. It's all of grace. But I'm still a sinner. I've got a little secret I've shared with some church people, but not everybody here knows this. And you're going to be shocked when you hear this. You will be. Pastor Rader, Dr. Rader, is not perfect. He's a sinner. He is. Yes, I know that crashes some people's view of what the ministry is, but the Apostle Paul, here the great Apostle Paul, the things I want to do, I don't do sometimes. The things I know I ought to be doing, I'm not getting done. The things I do, I'm ashamed of afterwards. That's a very loose paraphrase right here in the book of Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am. A wretch. Miserable. Undone. No personal righteousness. If you're a New Testament Christian saved by grace and you got your nose in the air and you think you're better than other people, God bless you. It's going to be a rough life because you couldn't be more wrong. You're going to get chopped down at the knees. It won't be long. You get out in the big bad world, it's going to hit you like a ton of brick. And you're going to realize, wow, you know, I think I better run back to Jesus. And you remember to do that when and if that happens, all right? But we're free from sin. Romans 6, verse 17, verse 18, verse 22. It's a wonderful truth. We're free from sin. I got to ask this question and we move on. Why would a born-again Christian run back to the slavery of Egypt? Why would someone who got born again, got saved, got all cleaned up, got washed, And the chains fell off and glorious, now he's a child of God, or now she's a child of God, and now living for God, and the world starts to look good to them, and they run back to the chains of Egypt. And they wonder why everything falls apart and everybody's so miserable on the inside. They're conflicted. They are greatly conflicted. That's a terrible life. There's nothing more indefensible than a born-again Christian living like he's dead to God. Nothing more indefensible than someone who is saved by grace, turns their back on the Savior that saved them by grace, and runs off to the world and does their own thing. And I've got a little term, and I don't know if it's new with me. Brother Shahadi, you're from way down south, so maybe you can tell me. The term I would use to describe that is casual Christianity. You ever heard that before? You have? It's not original with me. Guess I won't write the book. All right. Casual Christianity. You know what? I'm glad I'm saved. I sure do love Jesus. No, Jesus, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear how to live. I don't want to hear how to talk. I don't want to hear how to dress. I don't want to hear about morals. I'm saved by grace. Number one, I don't know if that person really got saved. Number two, if they did really got saved, they are greatly conflicted. And it's going to be a big, bad fall. That casual Christianity. Let me say this. I wrote it down. I thought it was a good thought. Nothing more indefensible than a born-again, living child of God, living like he or she is dead to God. God deliver us from casual Christianity. It's a death rattle. Half a generation from a church being destroyed if casual Christianity takes over. Someone's got to be militant. Somebody's got to be on fire for God, period. And nothing else matters. And love everybody. That doesn't change. Just like Jesus did. And many a Christian wouldn't do what they do if they were in the presence of Jesus. And by the way, he loves you. He had the right attitude. Just think that through just a little bit. All right, freedom from death. I've run out of time. Quickly, I want to jump to the third point. But look at Romans chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3. If you just that those two verses. Freedom from death. The hounds of hell nip at our heels. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that death has no sting for the child of God. Say, what is that all about? We're free from the pangs, from the power of death. That's a wonderful truth. Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. We are redeemed from the power of the grave, of death. I stand before you, 61 years old, and I'm not afraid to die. Someday, you're going to hear that Pastor Rader died. And at that point, you don't need to feel sorry for me anymore. I'll be in glory. I'll be in God's heaven. Yesterday, I got to serve God at a funeral. Let's look at that. Let's look at another verse before I get to that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans 8 and verse 4. John 11, 35, by the way, as far as this death thing is concerned, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The grave has no power over the child of God. You understand? There's no sad songs in glory. That's not how it's going to be. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm free. You know how many people spend their whole life afraid of dying? You know how much money Americans spend on trying to keep from dying? And they try to cover it up too. You know, they paint the barn. You know, they put all the makeup on. They got to hide all the wrinkles. You got to dye the hair. You got to, you know, some hair growing tonic. I tried all that stuff. It don't work, by the way. They do everything they can. They do their best to keep in shape. And I believe you ought to do that and try to, you know, because your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But man, and people worship the body. By the way, you people that dress immodestly, consistently, young men, young women, I hope you get old and fat and wrinkled real fast. In fact, I pray you grow whiskers where whiskers are not supposed to be, and hair comes out your ears, and you get ugly real fast until you know how to possess the body in honor to God. That's a big deal. It really is. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Somebody said that's good. I heard that. And I know it was an old person that said that. Verse 4 says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Boy, I'm just pulling that one verse out of there. We could look at the whole chapter. We could look at the whole book of Romans, verse after verse after verse. Here's what a lot of people don't understand. If you look at it from the right perspective, I get to serve God. I read something, boy, I did this in the morning. I did this in Sunday school this morning. Is that sword of the Lord still up here? Hand me that, Ethan. Hand me that real quick. The sword there, yep, real quick. And they'll just have to kind of edit this part out on the radio. I read something this week talking about the right perspective. Oh, look at it. I got the right page already. This is from a little kid. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. That's from the heart of a little girl. That's just the right perspective, right? That's what that is. It isn't, I got saved, and now I can't do this, and now I can't do that. If I'm going to be used of God, know his full blessing, I can't do that. That's wrong. That's wrongheaded. That's carnality. That's flesh speaking. That's rebellion speaking. That's the old man speaking on the inside. Here's the way it ought to be. I'm saved by grace. Glory to God. I get to be involved in the work of God. I get to work at Bible camp. I get to clean the building. I get to teach a class. Glory to God, I get to be a Christian school teacher and not leave till 6 o'clock at night every single day. Glory to God. And get paid $300 a week or $250. Glory to God, you know. But it's looking at it from the right perspective. Here's the deal. I get to serve God. So Richard, it was a great privilege to do your dad's funeral. And I know it was a conflict with some open houses, but it worked out. I got to everybody's open house. Give him a little bit of money, ate some potato salad, and went to the next one. You know, and I had to wear my suit all day long, but it worked out real good. And I went to that little church out there in Ozark, that little Brethren church. I wonder how many people that holds, do you know? 75? Yeah, something like that. Place was packed. Yeah, it was 175 yesterday. Yeah. Place was packed. No air conditioning. It was packed. People were standing against the wall of the back of the church. People were standing in the foyer and down the steps going out of the church. And get this. Now, you could look at it and say, well, I had to fit that in my schedule, and man, I don't get paid enough money for this, and I had to stand up there and sweat like a stuck pig. I mean, it was a terrible situation. By the way, Brittany was there playing the piano. God bless you, Brittany, right over here. I hope no sweat got spilled on her there while I was preaching, but because it was tight. It was real tight. And man, I got to give him the gospel. Yesterday, by the way, I'll say this about Raymond Lovegrove. And you know, I looked at my book after the funeral. It was more than a year ago I sat down and talked with him, wasn't it? He told me he got born again at 15 years of age. No, he's 94. 15 years of age. And he got baptized in a tub they used to boil down maple syrup in. A round tub. And he got baptized and lived his life. And wasn't a perfect life, but he's in God's heaven right now. And I got to tell all of his clan and all of his kinfolk how good Jesus was. By the way, I travel everywhere representing the UP, being the ambassador for the UP. Yesterday, I was at Uper headquarters in Ozark, Michigan. And Ray Lovegrove is super Uper, no doubt in my mind. But I got to stand up and preach to not only the old people. I'm kind of thinking some of them maybe were saved and they haven't been hearing good Bible preaching and lack assurance. But I'm telling you, people all over from every corner responded to the gospel and got saved. Man, I mean, all over. I couldn't give you a number. I have no idea from all over. Richard and I were talking afterwards. I said, you know, some of those older people from that church, probably it was people that maybe even got saved and they needed it for assurance, but they got saved for sure yesterday. But the younger generation, the next generation, and then their children, their grandchildren, and even some great-grandchildren that were there, they had no clue. They aren't hearing the gospel. There's so many places where the gospel's not being preached. What a privilege it is to stand there and just voice the words like a parrot. Just voice the words and watch God the Holy Spirit birth souls into the family of God. I get to do that. How many are involved in that? You see, the right spirit, the right perspective is, I'm free. I am free and I get to serve God. Freedom to do right. Freedom to try to live a righteous life in a world of darkness, to be that light in the world of darkness. I preach to everybody here, members and non-members, don't get sucked into casual Christianity. It's dead. And then when you have children, they won't know Christ because you're not serious about God. And you taught them that. You know, just don't get sucked into that. Sell out to Jesus Christ. It's great to be an American, isn't it? Great to be free. At least up at this point, man, I can stand up. And we got some big bad sins in America. Abortion, that's a big bad sin. And that's huge. By the way, that's the only issue I need to know who to vote for in any situation. Because I know we're going to give an account as a nation. And we stand before God on that one. That's big. Since Roe v. Wade, oh my. God will not hold us guiltless. Great to be American, though, and we still have great freedoms. There's still hope for nationwide revival. Yeah. I think we have a reprieve, and it's time right now to make hay. Yeah. Hey, did you know that Israel's 70 years old? Yeah. What about that last generation? Exactly. Have you thought about that? Israel, the nation of Israel, celebrating 70 years since 1948. 70 years right now. Jesus said, if we understand that teaching of the fig tree, the way it's written there, if we understand it right, that generation is not going to leave. Jesus, until they see Jesus. All these things will come to pass. I'm telling you, in case you're old and you're wondering, man, I'll bet you the rapture isn't going to happen for another 25 years. I doubt that. He's coming soon. He's coming home. He's going to rescue his church. Now's the time to get revived. Say, I messed up. Come back to God. Come back to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.